The bygone days of the great movie palaces still hold a special place in the hearts of many film lovers, and El Paso's own restored gem, the Plaza Theater, is about to transport us once again via the magic of movies. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The Plaza Classic Film Festival returns August 4th to the 14th to the historic Plaza Theater. And to discuss this year's festival screenings and events, I'm happy to have Doug Pullen back on the program, Program Director for the El Paso Community Foundation and Programmer of the Plaza Classic Film Festival. You're looking pretty good for 2.5 weeks out. What's the latest news on the Plaza Classic Film Festival?
Nothing really new. Our latest addition is a fundraiser for a movie by Ilana Lapid.
Mm-hmm.
You may recall showing Red Mesa in 2009. She has a new 27-minute movie called Yoshi that she shot in Belize, and she is trying to raise some money to help pay for the sound mix. So we're doing a fundraiser from 4 to 5:30 on Saturday, August 13th. We'll show the movie, the rough cut, and then she'll talk about it, do a Q&A, and then do the big ask, as they say. And it's a $10 ticket. It's not expensive, but hopefully some people will bring some cash and checks.
Fantastic filmmaker we've had on the show. It's been a few years, but I need to catch up with her.
Yeah.
And we should mention that tickets have been on sale now for over a week.
Yeah, went on sale July 8th. You can get them at the Plaza, at the Ticketmaster outlets. And you can guess what movies are selling the best.
Tell us.
Star Wars.
Okay, so Star Wars fans should get their tickets sooner rather than later.
I would. They're moving, based on what I've seen, over the past couple of years of doing this, they're moving pretty fast. Empire's actually selling the best.
Of course.
Not by much, but it is the best one, right?
So we should back up and mention you're showing the first three films.
Yes, thank you.
They're now called Episode 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, we're using the official names, and these are the special editions, which are the only authorized editions that you can show. So some of the purists may not like it, but I think most fans are just happy to see them. And you recall when you showed Star Wars in 09 what the reception was.
Han shoots first. Yes, we all know. Give us a rundown of some of the other highlights. You've got way too many movies than we can possibly mention in a 15-minute show, but we've already ticked off three of them, Star Wars.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, some of the bigger things, I think, obviously Giant, we're showing Giant, the 60th anniversary. I have a great memory of seeing it at the film festival in 08, and that really had a lot to do with my love of the film festival, that experience. So it's the 60th anniversary, and we're doing, in relation to that, we're doing an exhibition at the History Museum called A Giant Story, When Hollywood Came to West Texas. That opens on July 28. And that examines, it's the local angle, so to speak, when they were in Marfa, the El Paso connections to that, and then kind of going into some of the themes of the movie, the advent of big oil, the racism that was inherent.
And you're showing some documentaries about the making of Giant and George Stevens,
exactly.
The director.
Yeah, Children of Giant, which is Hector Galán's 2015 documentary that goes into some of those issues. And George Stevens Jr.'s A Filmmaker's Journey about his father, which we got permission from him. We invited him to come, but he's in his 80s and he's attending two weddings in Maine at that time. But we have his blessings. Caroline Pfeiffer, who is executive producer of Children of Giant, is going to come in and talk at the History Museum. And she's also going to introduce Children of Giant on Monday, August 8th. And Elsa Cardenas, who plays Juana in the movie, is coming in from Mexico City to appear with that.
She's Hopper's wife in the film.
Right, right. And obviously a pivotal character in that movie. And
sets up the ending.
Exactly.
Which we won't give away.
And the important conversion that goes on. And she's coming in to appear with the movie. She is one of the last surviving cast members from that movie.
Some of the maybe not smaller films, but films that are a little more off the beaten path. You have a lot of those. Any favorites?
A personal favorite is My Life as a Dog, a Swedish movie from the mid-80s. Lasse Hallström, who had been making that transition from being ABBA's video director. It was a movie that I fell in love with back when it came out. I loved the kid who played Ingemar. It was just a sweet movie, and it's something I've been wanting to show, and I finally worked up the nerve to put it in this year. 12 O'Clock High with Gregory Peck, that's some personal resonance.
Yeah.
My father was a navigator in the Air Force in World War II.
Incredible film.
Yeah, I love that movie. And my mother, who died recently, had given her blessings on this. I ran this by her first. because she met my father there in England when he was stationed there during the war.
Yeah. And you're showing a documentary on Gregory Peck, I believe.
We are. A conversation with Gregory Peck, Barbara Koppel's documentary. It was originally aired on PBS. It's a way to tie it in with his what would have been his 100th birthday this year. So we're also showing Gentleman's Agreement. Mm-hmm. I wanted to save To Kill a Mockingbird because that was just a few years ago at the film festival. I thought it was too close. So I thought we'd just focus in on a couple of things.
I guess one of the roles a film festival has is to broaden people's awareness of these films. And so not only are you showing these big films, but as you've mentioned, several of the documentaries that people can explore further about the lives of the filmmakers or the actors or stars of these films.
Some aspect. You know, we're highlighting non-documentaries, a couple of Elizabeth Taylor movies to tie in with Showing Giant. And in terms of documentaries, you know, we've got Wild Man Blues, which follows Woody Allen on a jazz tour of Europe in the 90s when he was trying to reclaim his image.
Opening night is Annie Hall.
Yeah, opening with Annie Hall.
One of his big films.
Yeah, and I've always loved that movie. And it's one that in the time I've been doing this, you know, had been on the wish list. And I'd kind of push it back a year. And then Midnight in Paris is showing. Obviously, that's a newer one. That's part of a series we're doing on weekends at the Art Museum called Picasso and Surrealism. Hmm. And that ties in with the two Picasso exhibits they have. So
time period.
Yeah. You know, it's the sixth annual collaboration and it's kind of morphed from year to year. We've expanded the footprint this year to the public library and they are hosting our film camp, but they're also showing a number of those documentaries that we're going to have this year, Children of Giants, so on. And there's two movies we're showing there that are, A, related to camp curriculum, and B, one is a nod to Chuck Horak, and that is Earth versus the Flying Saucers, a 50s sci-fi. And
little Ray Harryhausen stop motion.
Yeah, and they wanted an example of stop motion that the campers could watch.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then the last one is The Brave One, which was shot in Mexico.
Sure.
And, you know, it was written by Dalton Trumbo, who I forget what name he used, Robert Rich, I think.
Right. One of his many
when he was blacklisted. And also Elsa Cardenas is in that. So she's appearing in three movies at this festival. A lot of people, mainstream Americans, don't know who she is, but people in Mexican culture do.
Sure.
She's been in, you know, well over 100 movies.
Well, and The Brave One is not a title that a lot of people will have heard of, but it's probably the least heard of Best Picture Oscar winner, and it's a beautiful little film.
Yeah.
Really a come-from-behind win that year. Surprised everyone, including Dalton Trumbo.
Yeah.
The light, people who see the film Trumbo, there's a historical moment in there about that as well.
Yeah.
You're obviously energizing some of the venues in and around the Plaza Theater. We've mentioned the El Paso History Museum and the Museum of Art and the library. You also have a lot of stuff going on outdoors still?
Yeah. For the second year in a row, we'll be in Oregon Street. And for the first year, San Jacinto Plaza will be open.
Finally.
And last year, it was a construction site. I saw people walking in there and told the police. And it turned out they were two of the guys from our crew going to get something. So this year, it's open. Rocky Horror, of course, returns August 6th.
Perennial favorite.
Oh, yeah. Huge crowds for that. Pink Floyd, The Wall will open it on Friday, August 5th. And then the second weekend is we're going to do Car Wash, which to me is kind of like the black American graffiti. Mm-hmm. And then the day after that, we're going to show Mamma Mia, just because I wanted to have something kind of like Grease a couple of years ago where you had lots of moms and daughters out there. And it was fun to see.
A sing-along.
It's not officially a sing-along,
but
it will be a sing-along. And there's another little ABBA connection to Lassie Hallström.
So what is the selection process like with so many films? Walk us through that process.
It's a combination. There is a programming advisory committee, and they all kind of come from different interests and tastes. You know, Camilla Carr's on that committee. She was married to Edward Anhalt, the screenwriter. Mm-hmm. Julia Hussman is on that committee. She was married to Pat Hingle. You've got guys like Jaime Mendez from UTEP who brings kind of an 80s, 90s sensibility to it. Carlos Corral, the filmmaker, you know very well, curates local flavor. Jack Fields, who doesn't live here anymore but is an active member, who's our young classic film buff.
Yeah, and he loves classic movies.
He does. Lisa Elliott, who's a professor at EPCC. is on there. And then Jay Duncan has been helping out this year. And then we have some guests who come in from time to time, like Philippa Solis and Doug Wu, who's a classic film buff. And so you get a lot of input there. I have my own ideas. I rely also a lot on feedback from audience members or via social media, whatever. For example, we're showing High Society this year. And that I had two women come up last year requesting that one. But the one that made the mark on me was a woman who, you know, can you please show this? My father used to sing these songs to me when I was a little girl. And she started crying telling the story. So it was the first movie I watched after last year's festival ended.
A number of foreign language titles as well. You mentioned the Lasse Hallström film. Yeah. I think I'm most excited maybe about Notorious. It's a film that I never got to show there, but it's one of my favorite Alfred Hitchcock films, Cary Grant and Ingrid Bergman, 1946. Yeah. I know most people listening have probably been to the Plaza Theater at this point and have probably been to the Plaza Classic Film Festival, but it's a jam-packed schedule over 11 days. Suggestions on just the logistics of how people should manage coming down, where to park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, first off, study the schedule a little bit. You see it's a lot of counter-programming. So if something's over here, whatever's over there is going to be kind of in contrast to that.
And you have a printable schedule that fits on one page now online.
Yeah. If you go to the website, plazaclassic.com, go to the schedule page, the actual chronological schedule is being built, meaning I'm doing it. But there's a printable schedule. You can click it on and print it out. It's in chronological order. I would suggest getting there early if you're coming from the west side. You have got to factor in what's going on with all the road construction.
Yeah.
There are places to eat. There are places to hang out. You've got the museums there. You know, there's a number of things you can do. You can hang out in San Jacinto Plaza if you want, which has a vibrancy to it right now, which is refreshing. A lot of tickets are walk-up. I think on the Star Wars movies, I wouldn't hold off too long.
Right.
We do have a second show of Star Wars at 10:30 that night. That might be your backup plan.
So maybe come early, maybe get a pre-show dinner somewhere downtown and stay late.
Yeah, just I would. I would.
Take
I mean,
advantage of all the things happening and just make a day of it.
Yeah, there's that many more places to go now. And parking is not a problem, even when the Chihuahuas are playing. And they will be playing up through the 10th.
Everyone always asks, there'll still be an organ pre-show. So get into the theater early to see that.
Yeah, 30 minutes before, you know, the sitting time for each movie or starting time of each movie in the plaza, we have organists. And then Walt Stroney, as you know, a regular, comes in. He's not only going to accompany Phantom of the Opera, but he's going to accompany three silent shorts on August 4, Plaza Days at 11 o'clock. So kind of opening the festival with that. You know, so there's that. And we're also bringing in an electric cellist, Gideon Freudman, to accompany the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Always special to see silent films with live musical accompaniment. Doug, best of luck to you and get some rest the next 2 weeks. Stay hydrated.
You too, man.
I've been discussing the upcoming 9th Annual Plaza Classic Film Festival with the El Paso Community Foundation's program director and festival programmer, Doug Pullen. The Plaza Classic Film Festival will run August 4th to the 14th in and around the historic Plaza Theater in downtown El Paso, and tickets are on sale now at the Plaza Theater box office. For more information on the festival, a schedule of screenings and events, or to order festival passes, log on to plazaclassic.com. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.